everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And of course, we've got our worldwide live listening, which translates into, if you're by a computer, you can hear this program anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. That's my website. Or on KVOI.com. And of course, we've got all our podcasts and the complete show archive at BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation at any time during the hour, let's get right into our lead guest today, because we have a very, very full lineup, as usual, here on the program. Jason Fried is with us. For the past 2 years, Jason has been president of the Tucson Education Association, which will be celebrating in November 100 years in the Tucson Unified School District. Jason is a math teacher at Alice Vale Middle School. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Tell me a little bit, and I wanted to have you on. I was very concerned when Dr. Trujillo, the new superintendent, told our listeners, Jason, about there's over 100 vacancies in the classroom. In other words, these classrooms are being managed by substitutes. Nothing against substitutes, but there's going to be some jockeying when you have a substitute about who's going to be with you the whole semester. That's got a lot of people concerned.
As it should be. Unfortunately, that number has stayed fairly consistent from year to year. And I'm going to tell you the reality of this and the solution of this is funding. We have a huge teacher shortage throughout the entire state. And what's interesting is it's not a matter, the issue isn't whether we have people who have certification. The issue is people wanting to stay in the profession. There are literally thousands of Arizonans that have teaching credentials right now choosing not to teach. And so you ask yourself, why? And it comes back to funding. The state has chosen not to fund public education appropriately. And so we have educators who are undervalued and underpaid. Then we don't have the support structures that we absolutely need. We don't have, you know, as many counselors as we once did, full-time librarians and so on, other pieces that help to educate our kids. And so we see people who are leaving. So the issue isn't necessarily recruitment. The issue really comes down to retention.
And there's also an issue that teachers want to feel that it's a safe environment.
Of course. And discipline has been an issue. Discipline actually is an issue. I've been involved in conferences throughout the country. Discipline is an issue in most urban school districts throughout the country, as demographics have changed, and so what we're trying to say is, okay, how do we help to support educators? How do they get the support from the community that we desperately need? When we make phone calls home as teachers, we need those parents to step in and say, of course, I'm going to do everything that I can to help my child. And teachers don't necessarily feel that. And then obviously we need that support from our district. We need to make sure that administrators are doing everything they can to support the people in the classroom on the front line.
So teachers may get in through the front door saying, this is a profession that I'd like to get into. But then when they taste the situation and they put their feet in the water, it's not what they really want, at least in TUSD and perhaps other urban areas.
Right. What we've seen is that actually is fairly consistent throughout the state. And so when you have, it's not just a matter of TUSD, it's an issue everywhere. If you go to AmFi, even if you go to Vail School District, which is seen as one of the better school districts, not just in the Tucson metro area, but throughout the state, they're having teacher shortage issues. And so what we've got to really focus is, it's not just about retention, it's retention. If we can hang on to our teachers and understand that it really is a different world out there. People who are graduating college now are anticipating having anywhere from 6 to 8 careers, and they're not the lifers that education used to push out, where you'd start at 22 and teach into your 50s and retire. Those people are not coming out to the same degree. So we've got to find a way to make it lucrative for people to stay. And if we know that we're lacking some of the support, then at the very least, we need to find the state to get the funding that's necessary to pay people really an appropriate wage.
And people think, well, the teachers will go over to a charter school and it's necessarily going to be a lot better for them.
Well, if you look, actually, the charter schools are having a greater issue, and charter schools don't actually have the mandate that traditional public schools do, of having individuals who are certified, and yet they're still having some of those same issues. For me, I've got two daughters in public schools and TUSD. I want to make sure that they're being taught by somebody who's been trained to be a teacher, not somebody who's been trained to do something else and has decided to fall back on education.
It's interesting, Jason Fried, the voucher issue, apparently, depending on some impending court action, could very well, in 2018, the people of Arizona could decide on just what is considered fair for taxpayers to fund vouchers. And I'm not sure how that would go.
Well, it's actually been really interesting. So the movement to get this on the ballot in 2018 mm-hmm. was completely done by community members and volunteers. It wasn't any one large group or large donors
really
or any of those things.
It truly was
grassroots. And the reality as we look at it in Arizona when it comes to funding for public education, we are not appropriately funding one system. So why would we divert funds to other systems? So really our push in public education has been very clear. 85%+ of the community chooses traditional public schools. So let's, instead of diverting our money to private schools or charter schools, let's put all of that funding, let's put all of that attention, all of that focus on our traditional public schools and make them absolutely great, because that's what the community is needing.
When you go to make your pitch to teachers for TEA, what are the things you're saying that you can do for a teacher?
Certainly. So TEA in the last 4 years has increased salary for certified staff by $3,900. And at the same time, for classified staff, for by between 4.9% and 6.5%.
So you don't just represent teachers.
Teachers and classified, certified and classified, definitely. And our job is to make sure that we're representing both well, because we understand it's just like educating a child is part of the community's responsibility. Well, we understand that it's not just the teacher standing in front of the classroom, it's everybody. So when we look at it, we start seeing the positive effects that TEA has had. And this is in a community, or pardon me, in an environment from the state legislature that has not been friendly to public education, whether it be funding or any of their other actions. And so for TEA to have had that kind of success under these circumstances certainly shows the value of TEA, and that's why TEA's membership continues to grow. We are currently the second largest association within the Arizona Education Association.
And you're up 25% with your membership?
Yeah, in the last 2+ years, we've increased our membership by about 25%, and so you see that, and that's really just due to great work from people who are doing the work, whether it's negotiations or advocacy or really just the bread and butter member who's having the conversation with a colleague saying, hey, TEA is the reason that we can enjoy working in TUSD.
All right, we're going to go to the live line. We have a question coming in from our friend Jim Kelly. Jim, you're with Jason Fried.
Hi, Mr. Fried. Listen, you know, one of the issues that you touched on was discipline within urban districts. Why are you not encouraging and demanding for the safety of your teachers IT infrastructure that allows classrooms to be mic'd and monitored with cameras, upgrade your attendance so that teachers aren't spending a half an hour taking attendance, particularly substitutes, and just you know, get these kids cards that they swipe into the classroom and swipe out of the classroom so you know where they're at. You guys should be fighting for these things for the very safety of the teachers that you represent.
That's a good point.
These are great points. One of the issues is, because some of what you referenced are some things that really require financial contributions from the state legislature. So those concepts sound great, and I'd love to see them. What we need is a state legislature that increases funding, not cuts funding. And we've seen a cut for every year for the past 10 years when it comes to funding.
And Jim was talking about monitoring the classroom with cameras and a whole new kind of IT infrastructure, bringing the district into the 21st century.
So the reality that exists right now in public education is that we have buildings that are falling. I mean, TUSD is going after a bond in 2017 for just that reason. And so I don't think anybody disagrees. The issue is, where do we find that funding? We currently have classrooms that have a smart board or a Promethean board immediately next to a chalkboard, the same chalkboard that many of us were educated using. And it's not to suggest that chalkboards don't have their place, but man, it sure would be nice to have upgrades. And the real way to do that is to increase the funding from the state legislature. And the money is there. We certainly know that the money is there, and there's all kinds of evidence. Prop 123 was just simply a drop in the bucket, and we all know that was never going to fix the real ills that exist in public education. So what we've got to do is get rid of these ESAs. We've got to start appropriately funding our schools, and then we can have these kinds of programs that were just suggested by the caller.
ESAs being the voucher system. Correct. So again, I don't know if I would be willing, if this thing was on the ballot right now, to say really one way or the other. I don't know how that would do.
Well, it's right now it's diverting.
I don't know if you've seen any polling or anything like that on how that would do.
Yeah, we have seen the polling. People want to see their public dollars go to public resources, and sending them to an individual to go to a charter school. If I were to give somebody $5,000 to help send their kid to a private school, that doesn't change that that private school part of me costs $10,000. Most of us in the community don't have the money to do that. And so really what you ultimately are doing is you're just taking dollars that should go to our kids that are in need and putting them towards those who are not in need.
And of course, you come from an education family. I remember interviewing your mother a bunch of times on Channel 6, Marilyn Freed, who headed up TEA for a long time. So it kind of got in your blood, didn't it?
Yeah, this was not my intention. I'm actually a third generation educator. My grandfather was the professor at the U of A and led the U of A marching band for 25 years.
Wow.
And then both of my parents are retired teachers. And then I married a teacher. So I can't get away from it. This was not my intention. I love being a teacher, and I appreciate what education has offered for me, public education, and TUSD's public education. My goal is to give back as an educator. My goal is to give back as the president of TEA.
Thank you very much, Jason Freed. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Green Things has been our fine sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show for many years. Check them out, 3384 East River Road. It's a destination in itself for all gardeners. Right by the Rito River Walk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com, their website with all the listings of the upcoming free workshops for gardeners. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Also, our quarterly Arizona Water Report with Karen Caesar. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcast, the complete show archive, all of it at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we're going to consult with Shelley Fishman right now. Shelley Fishman, how are you, sir?
I am well today, Bill, and the markets are up a couple days in a row. Looks like we've safely passed the 22,000 mark. So instead of bouncing off that ceiling, we've kind of blazed through it.
Foothold, maybe, for a while anyway, at over 22, yeah. But who knows? I think the markets were breathing, the New York financial area, looking at what happened over the weekend with Irma and breathing a pretty much a collective sigh of relief.
At the same time, we got a 3-month
so
delay
much worse
on the budget problems and the raising the debt ceiling. So some of the uncertainty has been taken out of the markets, and the markets reacted well.
The Fed has a meeting. Actually, they've got two meetings for the end of the year. There's one coming up here in a matter of days. Interesting article today in Bloomberg.
Well, you know, the Fed, most of the analysts are betting that the Fed will do one more rate increase this year, probably not in September, but in December, another quarter of a point. Every time there's a rumor or feeling that that's going to happen, the market reacts badly because higher interest rates make capital harder to acquire and just have a generally destimulative effect on markets. Now, that said, the question is, what's motivating the Fed to move away from the low interest rates that have really characterized the past 7 or 8 years? And the problem is the Fed needs to have some wiggle room. They need to be able to manipulate interest rates when the economy is showing signs of lagging or when inflation is showing signs of picking up. Neither of those things have happened. We've had almost flat growth at around 2-2.5% for the past 6 or 7 years. And at the same time, inflation has been hideously low. Well below the
for
Fed,
years,
yeah,
the
well below the target of 2%, and depending upon how you measure it, it's not getting close. So the question then becomes, what should the Fed do, and what are its primary motivators? And the primary motivator right now is deleveraging itself, getting its balance sheet back in order. Because remember, during quantitative easing, the Fed was buying literally billions of dollars of treasury notes in order to stimulate the economy. It worked. And by the way, that example has also worked in Europe, and the Europeans are now, you know, well on their way to healthy growth. So what we're seeing is that Fed policies have actually worked, but they've been going on for so long that they need to be unwound somehow. And people who have a stake in seeing to it that markets do well, not necessarily the economy, but investment markets do well, are scared to death that the Fed will react too quickly.
People that manage funds, in other words.
People that manage funds, people who advise people that manage funds, people whose job it is to kind of comment on the economy and talk about trends in the economy, both here in the States and on a worldwide basis. And so we got a really interesting article in today's Bloomberg by a fellow by the name of Komal Sreekumar, who's, you know, just got a resume that goes on for days in the financial world. Bloomberg, at the end of the article, notes that some commentators on their site have vested interests in the outcome, and so might thus be affecting their opinion. But what he's saying is that when you look at full employment at 4.3, 4.4%, is that really full employment, or are those numbers skewed by people with part-time jobs, or people who are working instead of 40 or 42 or 45 hours a week, only working in the mid 30 hours a week? And doesn't that tell us something about what real unemployment is like? And he's got a point. I mean,
he does. And there's a number of people that just give up.
Right.
Not looking anymore.
Right. But we're seeing people come back into the market. Also in Bloomberg today, we find that the latest numbers are showing that there has been a rise in the number of positions available. And that's gone up to a record high of 6.17 million new available jobs in June. Now you say, well, nobody can fill 6.1 million jobs, but actually what's happening is we had 5.43 million of those jobs actually filled in June. So there's some churn going on in the labor market. Why is that important? Well, because that means that some people are willing to resign their jobs and with some anticipation that they'll get another job. The problem is it's not resulting in higher wages, or at least not the kind of higher wages that would, now we go back to the Fed full circle, that would bring us to higher inflation. What we're seeing is a kind of a steady state, 500,000 jobs unfilled every month. And the problem there is that we don't have the skill levels to fill them. And so that gets into a whole discussion of where we get trained people. Some of them are going to be immigrants. Some of them are going to be people with green cards. Some of them are going to have to come from people who are retraining and improving their skills. At the same time, the economy is stalling because it can't fill those jobs. And so instead of seeing good, healthy growth at 3-3.5%, growth has been stuck between 2 and 3. And in the past 7 or 8 months, maybe even 2 years, you could argue that it's well below 3%. It's in the 2-2.5% range. And is that healthy growth? Sure it is. Is it as good as we can do? No, it's not. And then you get the whole problem of where is that growth going? Well, the growth is going to the top 1%. So it's not being shared down the line, and that causes people to feel like the economy isn't doing well. So all of this kind of feeds together, and then you have this outlier, which is what I do every day, which is the stock market. And it's growing, going gangbusters. And it's very, very difficult to figure out why.
Also, quickly, the Washington Post, the Sunday Post, Robert Samuelson.
Oh, thank you.
Had a piece that talked about he talked about cutting federal spending and raising taxes as a balanced approach to fixing the economy in the long term.
Yeah, Samuelson is a center-right economist. He's been writing for the Post for years. But what he said on Sunday was, look, don't just blame the Republicans for wanting to cut taxes and that's going to cause a problem with the debt. He said, blame progressives, too, for refusing to face the fact that Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare need to be managed better and need to be adjusted to make accommodation for the fact that our population is aging. Now, if you don't care about the problem until 2030, 2040, then you're going to be okay. But between now and then, when baby boomers like you and me are going to retire and become a drain on that system, something's got to be done. And the liberals, the progressives, don't want to touch it. So the Republicans are saying, we've got to cut taxes. And the liberals are saying, no more. And the Republicans are saying, we've got to do something about entitlements. And the progressives are saying, you leave that alone. And oh, by the way, every time you touch that third rail, you get killed. Mm-hmm. So what we have is increasing deficits. We have increasing debt limits because you have to pay your bills. And no real consensus as to how to fix that problem. Now, just to put it in perspective, Europeans have been running about 22% of their GDP in government expenditures every year. We've been running around 19 or 20. So we have a ways to go. But if nothing is done, we'll be at 23, which is a 3% problem for us. And at 23, that keeps on adding tremendous amounts of debt. And at some point, it has to be paid back. Or at least we have to make a dent in that. And that's what Samuelson is saying, is that we really need to have some maturity in our government in order to really fix this problem in a compromising and centrist way.
All right. That's Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. You can find out more about Shelley by going to buckmastershow.com. Shelley, I hope the rest of the week is a good one for you.
And for you too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the second half hour of our daily hour together here on KVOI. And I strongly recommend if you have no plans this weekend, or perhaps you have no plans right now, how about a road trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors. It's only a 3-hour drive over there, and it's good news is 15 degrees cooler. Autumn is coming now to the high country. Great chance to explore and do some camping in the area and just relax, hang out in historic Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and many things to do in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Priscilla Cornelio has been the director of the Pima County Transportation Department for 12 years. Prior to that, she served 10 years. Is that right, Priscilla?
It's 11 years.
11 at the city of Tucson. And she has decided that as of next Wednesday, she's walking away from it and deciding to retire. Why did you decide now would be a good time? First of all, good to see you. Thank you for coming
in. It's good to see you. And we just sort of decided. My husband had retired last December 31st, and then we have grandkids and want to spend more time with them, and I wanted to spend more time with my husband and kind of to enjoy life. I mean, you know, frankly, I see a lot of people around us and friends, and they've gotten ill and, you know, having health problems and issues. They go, you know, we got to go and enjoy life now while we can and we're healthy.
Yeah, and would you like to do some traveling?
I don't do as much traveling, perhaps, like as you do.
Yeah.
But definitely.
100 countries. And
right.
I'm to the point where travel is such a passion with me. It's like I'm always dreaming of the next trip.
Oh, good for you.
But you've got a place up in Colorado, so that's kind of going to be a focus, too.
That's what I sort of say. When I retire next Wednesday, Thursday morning, we want to get in a car and go on up to Colorado and spend some time up there.
As autumn approaches and the leaves start to turn,
exactly.
It's a perfect time of year. Okay, Pima County's budget, $1.27 billion. This time really does include some money for road repairs, correct?
It absolutely does, which is exciting for me. My retirement is kind of bittersweet because here all these years I've been complaining we don't have money to fix our roads, and now we have money to fix our roads and I'm leaving. But but nonetheless, so it makes me feel good that, you know, at least we have something to take care of our pavement on our roadways now. Our current budget that we have in this fiscal year is about $8.4 million that Pima County's getting for roads in the unincorporated area, plus another $8 million next year. And so the county administrator has okayed us accelerating the next year so that we have a total of basically $16 million, and we are developing a program now as to what we are going to do with that money, and it's only for local streets. So if you live on a subdivision and you have all your little local roads, those are the roads that will be treated with this money.
And we have a transportation advisory committee that's going to make recommendations from each of the five supervisorial districts.
Yes, we do.
And when will that report be coming?
Well, they're meeting today, right now, as a matter of fact. And it's going to be very difficult for them, I think, to make the selections because we have so many miles of local roads that they're going to have to pick from. And 60% of our local roads are all in poor, failed condition. So it's going to be difficult because there are a lot of neighborhoods that will be coming in, I'm sure, and saying, hey, do my neighborhood. and, you know, it's going to, what type of criteria will be used to make those selections. And I think you look at it, if it's like a bike route, if it serves places where a lot of people are walking or going to schools. But again, this is something that the committee is going to have to make those decisions.
We had your counterpart from the city, Daryl Cole, was on the program. He's feeling pretty good about the way things are going with the city. And, you know, they had the five-year program, which is sunsetting, but now they've got another program. So they feel they're really making a dent in some of the major city roads.
Right. And in addition, that part of the money, the road tax money that the county has, we're giving $8.4 million to the city of Tucson also for local roads. So Daryl Cole is even happier because he's getting much, much more money.
Where are your primary concerns? What are we having paved now that looks encouraging? Some of your major roads that are, you've got jobs going.
Yeah, we have some jobs. I think one of our big ones is over on Cortero Farms, that east of Thornydale, and that's under construction now, or going to be under construction. All the utility relocations have been taking place, so that's a really good one. Another one I know lots of people are always asking us about is Thornydale. And so we have monies, and we will be starting within a year to do like an overlay of Thornydale Road and add a couple turning lanes. So that's something I know folks will be very interested in that and very pleased that we're going to be able to do that also.
When Mr. Cole was with us on Friday, he gave out a city kind of hotline number for the potholes. Do you have something similar to that in the county that people could call?
Yes, 724-6410.
724-6410. 6410.
Correct.
And people can call in, and how do you decide whether or not you can get out there?
Well, what we do is when we get those calls, we immediately provide it to our operations department division and within the Department of Transportation. And if it's on, if a complaint about a pothole, and if it's on an arterial street like a river road where you have a lot of volumes of traffic and you have high speeds, then it's very hazardous location if you have a big enough pothole. So we will immediately go out and check it out and try to, you know, repair it within the week. But on the other hand, if it's a little local roadway deep in a subdivision, we'll go and check it out, but it might take us up to 3 months to be able to fill that pothole.
We fared pretty well during the summer thunderstorm season, the monsoon season, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and we had kind of a break where it came pretty much in July, so it was good for your crews because you got a break in August that you didn't really have a lot of monsoon activity.
One of the things that we implemented a year or so ago is what we call a super crew.
Okay.
That work, all they do is fill potholes.
Hmm.
And they work on Saturdays also. So we have crews out on the weekend repairing potholes. And we've really, really eliminated the backlog of potholes that we have. And so we're getting fewer and fewer complaints, as a matter of fact. So it makes us feel good that at least we're keeping up with it.
So when you look back over your 12 years, what are some of the kind of the highlights for you?
Well, I'm very, very proud of what we accomplished with the Regional Transportation Authority, and that I call it the transformation of the northwest side of town. That we had a lot of times up, and I'll say La Cholla, Overton area as an example, and La Cañada, that if we had any little bit of rain, that the road up at the CDO wash would be closed for 3-4 days, and it would take us that long to be able to clear it all out with all the sediment that used to come down, and with all the extensive flooding we had out there. With the RTA funding that we've been able to do, provide brand new roadways, in essence, up there. So we have roads that have the drainage facilities, they have the bicycle facilities and pedestrian, as well as ADA improvements there and the landscaping, I think that we have transformed the northwest side. And we also are doing the same thing on, I call it the southwest side, all of Valencia that we're going to be improving. We've done about 2.5 miles, and we're going to take it all the way from Mark to Ajo. Will be completed within another couple of years. And then last but not least, we've also on the southeast side that we've things that we've been able to do on the Valencia East over Alvernon Swan area. So again, it's been a partnership with the Regional Transportation Authority, and I think they've delivered, and I think we delivered.
All right, Priscilla Cornelio saying goodbye to Pima County next Wednesday, and you'll be doing, you're mentioning to me, you've got a full agenda, you've got to work with the food bank, you're going to volunteer a whole bunch of places, right?
Yep. I hope to stay busy.
And stay very busy indeed. Well, we want to wish you the best. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. We'll take our break right here. When we come back, our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with longtime Tucson Weekly Arts writer Margaret Regan. That's coming up right after this break. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for our arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater, which certainly is the crown jewel of downtown. And what an exciting lineup of world-class entertainment coming up. Certainly in the month of what's left of the month of September, visit foxtucson.com to view the full list of shows, which includes Three Dog Night this Sunday, September the 17th. This 70s iconic band, my goodness, they had 21 consecutive top 40 hits, and I'm sure they'll be performing a lot of them on Sunday at the Fox. Then on September 28th, be part of a truly interactive experience when Max Weinberg's Jukebox Tour makes a stop at the Fox Tucson Theater. For more information and to purchase tickets to see Three Dog Night on September 17th and Max Weinberg's Jukebox Tour on September the 28th, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, Margaret Regan, who is the author of two prize-winning books, highly acclaimed books on immigration. The most recent is Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you? Oh, we're having that gremlin has popped up, Ray. It's popped up on us again on the KVOI phone system. This happened yesterday when we were ready to say, how are you, General Wickham? Well, General Wickham was not there. He might have been there, but we were having problems with the phone. But Ray will be getting Margaret Regan back with us in a second or two to talk about a really interesting piece, cover story of the Tucson Weekly, and it has to do with that whole controversial and priceless de Kooning painting that is back in Tucson after 31 years, and it is a amazing story. We're going to have Margaret tell us about that in a moment, and we're actually going to talk some more about the de Kooning painting tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, when we have the University of Arizona Museum of Art. The curator will be on the program and will be talking with us about really how it is such a game changer for UA Museum of Art to have that de Kooning back. Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Bill. I have to tell you, this de Kooning story is one of the most fun things I've worked on in a long time.
Well, it may be in your, I think you started with the Weekly in 91.
90.
Oh, okay, in 90. I think this may be the biggest, your biggest art story, really. This is such a game changer for the U of A Museum of Art. And as I just informed our listeners, we'll be speaking with the curator at UA Museum of Art, who you also interviewed in your piece, Olivia Miller.
Olivia Miller.
Yeah, she'll be on tomorrow. Right. But just some general thoughts about all of this and how it's such a weird story, isn't it?
I know. Well, you know, it was on the front page of the Sunday New York Times the other day. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Well, you know, they did something I would really like to do, which is they sent a reporter out to Silver City. And, you know, my story was basically about the recovery of it. But everybody in Silver City is saying, what in the world? This couple had this painting in their bedroom, and are they the thieves?
Right.
I mean, people are asking that question. So the ages do match, you know. I don't know how much people know the general outlines of the story, but it was stolen way back in, I think, 1986 on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Middle-aged woman and a younger man come into the museum first thing, as soon as the door opens. The woman talks to the guard, distracting him. The young guy goes upstairs, and they leave like 10 minutes later. Turned out they had the de Kooning with them. Mm. And this is like the ancient world in terms of security. You know, there were no cameras. There were no photographs. I guess somebody caught sight of their car. Maybe there was a parking lot near the museum at that point. Of course, now, you know, it's all surrounded. But so all they had were these artist sketches of these two characters. So according to the Times story, the person that looked like a woman might well have been the husband in this operation, you know, the family that had the painting in their bedroom, the husband and wife, and that the ages match, you know, his age at the time and their son's age at the time. So, but, in my story, I talked to Dave Van Auker, who's the man who discovered the de Kooning in the bedroom. The story is he's an antiques and furniture dealer along with a couple of partners in Silver City, and he was asked to come evaluate the stuff in the house for an estate sale. And he's the one that found the de Kooning behind a door. And it's important to remember that the de Kooning was placed in the master bedroom of this couple where a casual visitor would never see it, because when nobody was in the room and the door was open, the door was covering the de Kooning. It was only when somebody was in the room with the door shut that you could see it. So it did feel a little weird. But, you know, he's the one who saw it, and he said everybody in Silver City is trying to puzzle this thing through. Like, could this nice couple that people knew as quiet yet art-loving people of middle-class means, they took nice trips and they had some nice art in their house, but nothing, you know, not any kind of great wealth. Would it have been possible for them to be the people who stole it and put it in their house? So I'm assuming that's what we're looking at, FBI.
Is this couple deceased now?
Yes. Okay. See, that's the thing. The man had died several years ago.
Okay.
And then the elderly wife died, and a nephew was in charge of the estate.
All right.
And he, you know, brought these people in. The New York Times story also said that the young man, their son, the son of the deceased couple, has mental issues. And so he, I guess, that's why the nephew was handling the estate. So it's a great story, though, and it's, you know, it's so wonderful for the museum to get that painting back. Olivia, who you're interviewing tomorrow, you know, you've never seen a person with a bigger smile on her face. In fact, the whole press conference that they had several days after they revealed to the world that the de Kooning was back at the museum, you know, it was just such a fun, happy event. You know, this has been such a challenging year in so many ways for people. And this was something that had no downside, except for the fact that the painting had been missing for so long. But everybody was so happy, and the new U of A president got off a great line. He said, well, I have friends from all over the country calling me to congratulate me on solving this 31-year-old mystery after only 3 or 4 months on the job at the U of A.
So a lot of his friends say, hey, that was your first big coup, right, as the president. So let me ask you, de Kooning was in the art world. How big a deal is this particular piece? And I've seen values on this at, what, $150 million and up, something like that?
Yeah. He's a big deal. He's a very, very big deal. You know, in the terms of the art market now, that those mid-20th century paintings of the abstract expressionists are huge sellers now. You know, they outsell any of the old classics, the Renaissance works that we prize so much. This is like the in kind of art to have now. And de Kooning was huge, really huge in the 50s, and I guess his reputation declined a little bit. But what I have in this story, it's interesting that he made this whole series of paintings about women. The one that we have here in Tucson is one of at least 20 paintings, and that's the series that really made his reputation. Museum of Modern Art in New York has the most famous one, I guess the one that's considered the best. But interestingly, Pollock, he was sort of the leader of the abstract expressionists. This is in the 1950s. He denounced de Kooning for abandoning the abstract expressionist ideal of using only abstract or making only abstract works. And this is a pretty abstract-looking painting, but it is a painting of a woman. I mean, you can see her face and her arms and her breasts. But then on the other hand, so he was denounced by the proponents of abstraction, and he was also denounced by feminist scholars and critics who find, and many people find, the works extremely misogynist, because all of these women in these paintings, in each painting is just one sort of very scary-looking woman. The one in the Museum of Modern Art, she's got these pointy teeth. She looks like she's going to bite you to death, you know, and these sort of big, scary breasts. So there's that critique of them, too. But Just recently, there was a retrospective of de Kooning about 6 years ago in New York. Got rave reviews from the contemporary critics who think that these woman paintings are really game changers in
wow.
modern art. So how wonderful for the museum here, for the students, for visiting scholars, for the community, to be able to look at this painting that was so pivotal in these arguments about what makes contemporary art.
I can't get enough of this story, and that's why it's going to be great to have Olivia Miller tomorrow. And even how the painting wound up in Tucson, Mr. Gallagher used to come out here like
yeah.
the Dude Ranches. But I am going to have to run. But
okay.
I do want to tell people your current story in the weekly is about the Todd Miller book launch. And I think that's a reading and signing this Friday at 7 at Antigone Books,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's another, it's an immigration book, but it's called Storming the Wall. It's about immigration okay. triggered by climate change, so
wow.
extremely timely.
Margaret Regan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
The Buckmaster Arts Report, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, Jesse Colin Young, and Martin Barr Band, Saturday, September 23rd. Martin Barr, Grammy Award winner. A lot of people remember him as the guitarist for Jethro Tull. Then September 28th, Max Weinberg's Jukebox Tour returns to the Fox. To view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets, Three Dog Night, September 17th, Jesse Colin Young and the Martin Barr Band, September 23rd, and Max Weinberg's Jukebox Tour, September 28th, FoxTucson.com. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.